Hey, movie lovers, you can enjoy Real Nerds Podcast in many ways. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. There you'll find articles and the podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel and you will see the Real Nerds Pod Show. We're also on Blue Sky. Hey, did you know Facebook is still a thing for people? Yep, we're on there too. We are also on Threads. There are many ways to interact with us. All our film adventures are posted on Instagram. If you have a social media account, you can find the Real Nerds Podcast.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
just
can...
talk to film!
I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action!
Howdy ho, Real Nerds listeners. Welcome to the greatest movie podcast the internet has ever known. I am Ryan. I am joined by Brad, and every week we see a new movie and we podcast our experience to the world. This week we saw I Love Boosters. Stay tuned. We'll recommend the film or not.
Did we love it?
Maybe. Play the trailer, then spoil the film. We'll also talk about the films we watched throughout the week. But before we get into that, Brad, we finished our week at Fan Expo in the Book Nook.
Yeah.
Right away, I don't know. I've been talking shit the last few weeks about Fan Expo not respecting us. But not only did I think content-wise we record the most. We have like 7 or 8 hours of interviews. I know this because on Saturday I recorded for 3 hours straight. And... first of all, thanks to everybody who actually came down and found us.
Yeah.
And it's hard. I was talking to your dad about this, that the work is really hard. And when I'm there, I'm pissed because we also got something stolen. So then it's annoying. And then we're not where we usually are. So I'm concerned about, well, why are we down here? Because we're an afterthought, even though I'm not trying to say how great we are, but we've literally been recognized by Nine News, the Denver Westward, of having really cool booths. And to be kind of shunned like that was really annoying. And the first day I was all disgruntled, and I went and saw our good friend Travis Himmel, which signed up for his Kickstarter alerts. It's July 14th goes live for his first book. He's writing, drew, and inked. It's called Start Your Engines. And you should watch posted our interview with him really quickly, which is really fascinating about that, as our booth was an 80s style basement, and we had you had a VHS camcorder, and I didn't know if it worked, but then another fan of the show, Cam, he brought us VHSs so we could record our interview with Travis.
Yeah, shout out to Cameron.
That was awesome. Cameron, we appreciate that. And when we put it up, it looked freaking great. You did a great job with it.
It took a lot of time.
I bet.
Too much time.
Because you put in cuts of...
I threw actual movie clips in
there. Yeah, and of Travis's artwork.
Yeah.
It came out really good, so I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was hard enough to just like capture it, but then I was sitting there going like, well, it's just these two shots back and forth for like almost 40 minutes. So I was like, I got to put, like, oh, obviously the Kickstarter, I could put images in there. And after that was successful, I was like, oh, you start talking about Pee-wee, I can get some Pee-wee clips.
Yeah.
And then other 80s movies in there. And like, oh, it's going to be covered up with the VHS style, so the YouTube algorithm won't recognize it.
Really?
It flagged me. Yeah, I haven't gotten a notice yet.
That's awesome.
So, and then I flipped it. So it's like, yeah, it's totally confused with whatever scanner they had. So, so far, so good.
But big shout out to Travis, too. He took a lot of time out to sit and talk to us. Anyways, when I went and talked to him the first day, he was in this weird spot where there was tons of room for him and a bunch of other artists, these about 6 or 7 of them that were part of the comic creators area, but not really. And then you go up there and someone like Frank Cho, who's one of the biggest artists in comic books, there's not very much room in his booth, and it seemed really weird to me.
Seems like, yeah, if you're going to have fans line up, they should have more room.
Yeah, and so, anyways, back to my original rant, is I was talking to your dad, and I was really disappointed where we were, but then when everybody complimented the booth design you did and how much effort you put into making it feel cool, then it makes it worth it to me. And I started getting over it on Thursday because you made this really cool flash drive with bumpers of MTV and Disney cartoons, and then you put a bunch of music videos in it, and it just really reminded me of growing up, and I loved it so much I said, you need to copy that for me so I can put it and just have it in background every once in a while. And I know it's a lot of work, and you know, some things went wrong, but the feedback we got was so like positive that it's hard for me to just turn my back on that. And then to sit down and have 7-8 hours of interviews, I honestly can't believe, I cannot believe how many interviews I did.
It's weird too, because like there would be some days where like we sat there for like 4 straight hours, yeah, of just like, are we going to get anything today? Yeah. And then suddenly there's a wave of people who wander in, and then next thing you're doing like 3 hours straight.
Yeah, and because there was times I was getting frustrated, and I was like, I'm just going to go look at fucking comic books. And then I'd come back down and says, hey, dude, there's like 3 people that have wanted to sit down. I said, really? And then I would be there, and then sure as shit, they just start showing up. And then, you know,
it was usually at the end of the day, and I predicted this, is like, we're not, you know, their first choice. So mm-hmm. at the end of around 3 or 4, they've seen everything at the con.
Yeah.
So they're just like looking for things to do. So that's like our best time was like the afternoon when people are like, oh, I got nothing else to do, I'm going to sit on this podcast.
True. And it always helped. What a lot of our fans, like Blaze, he brought people in to just talk to us. Cameron just talked to us. He brought his girlfriend Sarah, you know, and then Natalia, the author, she brought over Taryn, who we met when we were setting up. And then we had other authors come over. It was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And I think a lot of it goes to your booth design, because I think people were hypnotized by it.
I just imagine if it was like on the other wall so you could see it from the doors.
I know.
Because so many people like walked 5 feet in and just like, oh, books, and then left.
Yeah. And then because then you're reminded too that it gets annoying. And then I felt really bad for the authors because they're in there to sell their books. And then on Saturday, or no, Sunday. Yeah, Sunday, they overbooked
one of the panels,
and they just put it in this room. And these authors get out, and Taryn, who's on our show, who's great, make sure you pick up her book. You know, what are they supposed to do? And if there isn't like a bigger sign of how fucked up people are, the panel they kicked out was an LGBTQ+ panel and people with disabilities.
For a cosplay panel,
and they didn't have microphones for them. So not only did they kick them out, they couldn't be heard. And I didn't think, it's the most ironic panel I've ever been a part of. I couldn't fucking believe it.
Yeah, and those authors lost sales for that time.
Yeah, and so you get annoyed again, but then right after that, you know, Travis comes in, and then we have the almost an hour-long interview with him, and then I have all, Blaze brings in his friends, and they all sit down and talk to me, and then I have these girls, I don't know anything about Demon Slayer, but they were so excited to tell me about it, and it's just stuff I really, really like, and you did such a great job designing it too, as people would stay and they would just start pointing out things because we had little hidden Easter eggs throughout it, and it ended up working out really well. I'm honestly shocked how well it went. And how about you, Brad? What was your experience?
Yeah, I mean, I spent most of my weekend either bummed that we got that device stolen or like fixing things, like you know, we didn't have all the cables the first day, so like wiring all the different tech together, it felt like a bunch of shit broke like at every turn. But I mean, overall, it was cool that people enjoyed what they saw. I wish they'd take more photos and tagged us. People take photos, but they don't tag us.
Yeah, we're also not very out there in your face, kind of.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's partly our fault.
But yeah, it's still cool that they had us, you know. I didn't have to like settle for having a just a table thing and just sit there for 4 days and be like, oh, I could be making money. And so just like a bucket list thing of like, oh, cool, I made an 80s basement room that, you know, if
you can have it, buddy, I don't care.
I would live in if I could, you know. So it was cool to see it materialize. Yeah. And hopefully if the pinball showdown calls us, we'll get to set it up.
Yeah,
again.
So you might be able to see it again. Corinne was also at Fan Expo, and here's what she had to say.
Hey, nerds. Corinne here for a special installment of Showtime. Normally, I tell you all about something cool I've been watching lately, but this week, instead, I'm going to tell you about my experiences at Denver Fan Expo 2026. Yeah, I was not planning on going this year. I went last year briefly. I was only there for, I don't know, maybe like 6 hours across 2 days, mostly to booth sit for Ryan and Brad when they went and did a panel. But, I mean, I had fun in the few hours that I was there and, you know, had enough interest in that I went back and I got, you know, an autograph or some autographs from people. But, yeah, this year I was not planning to go up until, I don't know, like 6-7 weeks ago when my mom and sister, who both live in Kansas, found out some of the celebrities who were going to be at Denver Fan Expo, and they were like, hey, we're going to go. you should come with us. And I was like, oh, okay, I guess I'm going. I had a very different experience this year versus last year. I was there 3 of the 4 days. I was actually tempted to go on Sunday as well. But my family had left by that point and I kind of ran out of time and I was like, I was very close to going, but I was like, I don't want to go by myself. It's not as much fun. And I think there was only like one or two panels I was interested in, but anyway, so I went 3 of the 4 days. My family got in Thursday afternoon just in time that it was like, hey, we could go down there today because they had like VIP stuff set up for Friday. And they were like, we should go down there today so we know where we're going, we know what we're doing, and it'll streamline stuff for Friday. And I was like, yeah, that's... I was initially hesitant because I was like, we don't need to go down there today. But they talked me into it, and yeah, in hindsight, it was a really good decision because there's just so much, and there were so many things I didn't have to deal with last year because I got in with the nerds, you know, with like the badge that they had. And this time it was like, you had to get a badge and you had to go through this whole long line and you had to, you know, they had to check in for the VIP stuff and they had to find all the documentation and blah, blah, blah. And we had to figure out where all to go. So yeah, it was a good thing we went on Thursday, but we did the bulk of the stuff Friday, Saturday. We went to like some panels. They met some celebrities. I only officially met one celebrity. That was Brendan Wayne, who is the suit double in The Mandalorian. So he is the one who's on screen most of the time in the suit. But obviously, anytime they take the helmet off, you see Pedro Pascal's face. Pedro Pascal is also the voice from The Mandalorian. So it's very much a like David Prowse, James Earl Jones kind of situation where it's like David Prowse was the guy in the suit most of the time. I think they had a stunt double, but David Prowse was the guy in the suit for Darth Vader most of the time in the original trilogy. But then, of course, James Earl Jones does the iconic voice. So it was kind of like that. But yeah, Brendan Wayne, super nice guy. We went to his panel on Friday. Him and Johnny Coyne, I think is his name. He's the guy who plays one of the villains in the Mandalorian and Grogu movie, which... I'll have to talk about that more another time, but I'm like, I'm not a big fan of the movie, but going to the panel and hearing about their experiences and some of the kind of like behind the scenes tidbits, and stories that they shared, I was like, I kind of want to see the movie again just because I think I'll have a slightly different appreciation for it this time. I did go back and rewatch Mandalorian season 1 and I was like, oh my gosh, I forgot how good the show is. Season 1 is like miles better than what happens in the movie. But anyway, so we went to their panel on Friday. That was the very first panel we went to for the whole weekend. It was a lot of fun. I was actually surprised it was not more packed. It was in one of the smaller, or not, I don't know. For anybody who's not been to Denver Fan Expo, it was in probably, I'd say, like a mid-sized ballroom. Like, there were some talks and panels in, like, the smaller rooms downstairs. And then on the third level, they have, like, the... Bluebird Ballroom or something, I don't know, 3B, where that panel was. But then we didn't know this until Saturday, but there's an even bigger ballroom where they have like the really, really big talks, you know, the Lord of the Rings reunion panels and the boys and stuff like that. Like they were all in the really big ballroom on Saturday. But yeah, kind of shocked there wasn't a bigger crowd. So we went to that one. We went to that panel on Friday. The other panel we went to was the Transformers panel. It was supposed to feature Peter Cullen and Frank Welker, the voices of Optimus Prime and Megatron from the animated series. But Peter Cullen wasn't able to make it to a Denver Fan Expo. I think he like strained his back or something. But Frank Welker was there, as was Michael Bell, who voices some of the Decepticons, I want to say, on the show. I can't remember which one, sorry. But I didn't, if you'd have just told me like Frank Welker, I'd be like, who's that? But looking up his like IMDb page, I'm like, oh my gosh, this guy has done voices for everything. Like any show, any movie you can think of from your childhood, if it was animated, especially, yeah, he's done voice work for it. He was like Flit, a lot of like random things. He's like an armchair in Beauty and the Beast. Yeah. He's Flit in Pocahontas. And as I found out later, he was the original voice for Fred from Scooby-Doo, which is probably what I would know him best for. But anyway, so my sister, her boyfriend is like a huge Transformers guy. And now she's like, she's not as big of a Transformers fan as he is, but now she's like gotten into it more. And she got a bunch of stuff signed for him because he's deployed with the military. So he wasn't able to make it. But she got a bunch of stuff signed for him, and she met Frank and got his autograph and stuff. So we went to the Transformers panel. It was pretty good. I will say, like, I think the moderator was better for that one than it was for the Star Wars one, the Mandalorian one. But then on Saturday, like, there were some like professional interviewers, and I was like, I can tell. Yeah. So, yeah, the Transformers panel was pretty good. It gave me a greater appreciation for Frank Welker as a voice actor, and Michael Bell as well, and those two are great. And I did not know this, but apparently Frank Welker is originally from Denver, Colorado, so shout out to him. And he's still working, so good for him. I didn't get to meet him personally, but just seeing him, because I went to two of his panels, and, seeing him, like, he was just very, very cool. So definitely a living legend kind of moment. Then Saturday we went to three panels. We went to the Mall Shadow Lord, which was in the bigger ballroom, and I thought, oh, isn't this interesting that the animated show Mall Shadow Lord draws a bigger crowd than the live action movie that just came out? Like, I know they both just came out, but I'm like, The Mandalorian and Grogu is like literally like a week and a half old when Denver Fan Expo happened, and then Mall Shadow Lord was like about a month old by that point. Or at least the finale. But yeah, I was like, isn't this interesting? It just shows you where the franchise is right now. But not to say it was a bad panel, but I thought just the way it was formatted and like how the questions and the answers kind of all unfurled was a little awkward. It almost felt like the cast members were interviewing each other more than the moderator was interviewing them. And I didn't feel like we got very, like, some of the questions were good, but some of them were kind of awkward, and I was like, hey, like, should have started off with like, oh my gosh, like that finale, that, you know, oh, it was so great to see Maul back in life or back in animation, or, you know, whatever, like something that was more timely. I think the first question was like, how did you get into Star Wars, which admittedly some of the answers were pretty interesting, but I was like, I figured, you know, we would have started with Maul Shadow Lord and the finale that just dropped a couple weeks prior and then gone off of that. But no, that was a fun panel then, because my sister, I forget where my sister was. She must have been going to other panels or something, but she was off doing something else. So it was me and my mom. My mom went to the Mall Shadow Lord panel with me. And even though she's never seen the show, she doesn't know what's going on. She's never seen like Star Wars animation. She watches the live action shows, but she has never watched any of the animated shows. So she had no idea what was going on. But she's like, I don't care. It was just nice to go and just sit. But then she wanted to go to the boys panel, even though she's never seen the show. I've never seen the show. And she's like, I want to go to the boys panel because I want to see Carl Urban. And it's like, Mom, we've never seen the boys. And she's like, I don't care. I just want to go. And I'm like, fine. I'll go with you, since she had come with me to the Mall Shadow Lord one. So we sat in line for like an hour and a half to go to a panel about a show that neither of us had ever seen. But it was packed. It was tons of people in there. Yeah, the interviewer was a professional. They talked about the finale and a bunch of like the behind the scenes stuff, which again, I've never seen the show, but just seeing like some clips of what happened in the finale afterward, I was like, okay, I kind of appreciate this a little bit. Still don't want to watch the show. It's not for me. It's way too violent. But I was like, yeah, Carl Urban, he's been in the business forever. He's a legend. So it was cool to like see him like on the panel and stuff. Didn't really know anybody else there, but they all seemed like cool people, very talented people. And then I actually ducked out of that one early because I got in line for the last panel we went to for the con, which was Scooby-Doo, featuring Frank Welker and Matthew Lillard. And I didn't realize this, but it makes sense. But they actually work together on like all the current animated Scooby-Doo projects, because Frank is Fred Jones, and then Matthew Lillard is Shaggy. So, yeah, it was cool just hearing those two. Like, they're both, you know, legends in their own right, and I hadn't met Matthew Lillard, but like all weekend, his line was so long. And I was like, what's the deal? Like, I don't get it. Like, what? I know he's been in a bunch of stuff. You know, Scooby-Doo. He's been in a bunch of horror movies. I'm Five Nights at Freddy's. I'm like, I know the horror people are just like, you know, they go bananas for their people. But I'm like, Matthew Lillard? Like, really? Like, his line is out the door, around the corner, like, every single day. And after the panel, I was like, okay, I get it. Like, he's very super nice, super charismatic. Just has, like, a great understanding for, like, an appreciation for like where he is as an actor. And he's like, you know, some days, like the only gig I had was Scooby-Doo, you know, where it was like months I went without any kind of a project or any kind of work except for Scooby-Doo. And like that kept me grounded and that kept me going. And I was like, okay, I get it. Like, yeah, super nice, super charismatic guy. So yeah, if ever I got the chance to meet him, I would love to do that. But yeah, and Frank Welker, yeah, again, legend. So And I guess Frank now also does Scooby. He was not the original voice for Scooby, but he does Scooby now, which makes a lot of sense considering how many animals and other characters he's voiced over the years. But yeah, so it was like, it was so sweet seeing like Shaggy and Scooby up there together. Yeah. So yeah, I was definitely at way, like I had never been to any of the panels before at any of the cons I've gone to. So this was a very different experience for me. I liked it. I really did. It was a much better con experience than I've had before. Very different, you know. Again, was there multiple days, did lots of different stuff, said hi to the nerds, went by their booth a couple of times. I went around like part of the expo floor, but oh my gosh, too big, too many people. I'm like, I got part of the way. I found some like Lego minifigs. I bought a couple of things like that, but you know, nothing big. But my sister bought a bunch of stuff. My mom bought a couple of things. So they had a good time. I asked them afterward. I was like, you know, would you come back? And they were like, you know, maybe depending on who was in town and who was here. And my mom, you know, she met Brendan Wayne. She met a couple of other people. And she's like, I just wanted to stand behind the lines just so she could just see them, just see the celebrities and just take their photos from a distance. She, you know, it's like, yeah, it is pretty cool. Even if you don't meet them, just to be in the same room as them, it is pretty cool. So yeah, they both said they would come back depending on who was here. But you know, my sister, she's been to other cons before, like in Wichita and Kansas City. So she would, you know, probably go back to those more than she would come here. But my mom, like, you know, she's like, she had never been to any con ever. And she was, you know, at one point, I think we were sitting in the boys, waiting for the boys panel. And they start listing out, like, upcoming cons, like, other fan expos, other comic cons. And she's like, oh, maybe I could go to that one. Maybe I could go to that one. And I'm like, where is this urge to, like, go to comic cons all of a sudden? And she's just like, I don't know, I just want to see who's going to be there, and just, I don't know. So, yeah, so they had a good time. Maybe they'll come back next year. But yeah, I was telling some other friends that, you know, because people were asking me, like, how did it go? How was your family? Did they have fun at the con? And I did bump into Jerry there as well. But I was telling him and some other people afterward, I was like, you know, I think next year, hopefully they do a lot of Star Wars stuff because it'll be the 50th anniversary for the original 1977 movie. And I know this year they did a bunch of, like, the big thing was the Lord of the Rings panels on Sundays. Or on Sunday, because it was the 25th anniversary of the Fellowship of the Ring. So I'm like, maybe next year will be a bunch of Star Wars people because it'll be the 50th anniversary. So we'll see. We'll see. That would be cool. But I might go to Colorado Springs Comic-Con in August with Jerry and his brothers-in-law, just like we did last year. We just go there for one day, look around, meet a couple of people, get some autographs. Very much of, not like a hit it and quit it, but very much just like a, you know, a very straightforward, efficient process. Because Jerry was only there, I think, Friday at Denver Fan Expo. And he was telling me about, like, everything he did. And I was like, you were only there 6 hours and you did all that? He's like, yeah, we were very efficient in how they got in getting all their stuff. And he got to meet David Tennant, which I was very jealous about. But I was like, I don't have the patience to stand in line that long, and I don't want to spend money. although I did spend $100 to get Brendan Wayne's autograph and a picture with him. But meh, I feel like that was worth it. It was like David Tennant, I want to say, was like $160 or something like that. It was more expensive. It might have been $120 just for the autograph. And I was like, I can't justify that. Sorry. And the line was super long. So I was like, if the line is short, I can justify spending more money. But if the line is long, I can't justify it. So short line or more or cheaper, but not both. So anyway, I'll talk to you guys about something next time. But until then, keep it real, nerds. Bye.
Thank you, Corinne. We got to meet her mom and her sister, so that was fun. Glad you had a good time. Thanks to everybody who took time to see us. Your interviews will be up. There's just a lot of them, so
I haven't even started on them. Like that, there's 2 days.
Yeah, there's like 30 something. I don't even know. Yeah. But thanks for stopping by. This week, Brad, we saw I Love Boosters. Do you recommend I Love Boosters?
For about half of the movie, I was really lost because I felt like stylistically and plot-wise, it jumped around. Like, I couldn't get a beat on, like, where it was going. But then the second half is like a Wes Anderson movie. So that's when I was finally able to settle in. I'm like, okay. But also, like, all of its social commentary is very on the nose. You know, they talk in headlines you've heard about plenty in the past couple of years. So, the topics, they deal with important stuff. So yeah, it's wildly creative and imaginative. I think it's worth a watch.
Yeah. I did not expect it to be the way it was.
Yeah.
Because it's a hard movie to sell. So it's hard for me to say, oh, well, they didn't market it right. I mean, I don't know how you market that movie. I've said this before. I love Kiki Palmer. I love her energy and she's great in the movie. Demi Moore is really great in it. And to your point, it's this hyper surrealistic view of the world, and you have to accept the world that you're in or the movie's going to fall flat for you. And it gets really weird, but in a way I almost like that it did. I love movies that take chances every once in a while. And yeah, I think you should see it. Here's a trailer for I Love Boosters.
You know the egregious theft that's been happening at my stores. The boosters take my clothes because they're low-class urban bitches.
Chrissy Smith knows we exist.
I call it triple F. Fashion, forward, philanthropy. I know how to spell philanthropy. Branding, though.
Corvette, you're a raw ass, make it happen, hustler.
Give it to me. It's mine anyway.
In fashion, humanity is our canvas. But the Velvet Gang is reducing our margins. I can bob and weave.
Chrissy Smith stole my design.
What?
If she stole your design, we gotta get it back for that. I have a plan. Together, we empty out every single Metro designer in the Bay Area.
We gotta take what's ours.
We should coordinate.
But what are we waiting for?
They've taken everything.
It's not even that yellow in here anymore.
You okay?
It's time to get loose!
You boosters just tank
like you. We follow this plan to precision.
Their wig game is crazy.
Damn.
I'm gonna need you to trust me.
We have to make her cry.
3, 2, 1.
Oh, come on.
Let's take all of it. Grab them wigs.
Kiki Palmer plays a woman named Corvette, and she and her friends go around to designer label stores, and they steal it. That's why they call them boosters. And then they sell them at low prices for families that can't afford them, whether it's children or stuff. So they're kind of fashion Robin Hoods. And then the people, she's an aspiring designer of clothes, too. And so she, her favorite designer is played by Demi Moore. She's this horrible designer who makes clothes really cheap in China, and they work in really crappy factories. And then they decide that they're going to steal all her stuff for the fall lineup because they heard that there's going to be $100,000 suits there.
Yeah. Also, she stole Corvette's design for an outfit.
That is a really bizarre design. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the movie's just bizarre. Demi Moore lives in the coolest skyscraper in town, and it's built wrong, so everybody walks in it.
Yeah, it has an incline or a decline.
Yeah, wherever you want to be at. And then it's super surreal because when...
And she lives in, like, a chicken hut.
Yeah. Because when Corvette and what's her friend's? Gosh darn it. I'm so bad with names sometimes. Anyways, her and her friend are in the store and they're stealing clothes. And when they walk out, you know, Kiki Palmer has all these layers and she looks like she's stealing stuff. And,
obviously stealing, yeah.
Yeah. It's just this hyper surreal world that they live in. And you have to accept it. If you don't accept it, then you're going to hate this movie. But there's really funny moments in it that they don't take it seriously, but they do. I always love the headlines in the newscast where it's a woman wants to see more poor, like, black people on the news. I can't remember what they are, but it's just really interesting. And Boots Riley is a really interesting filmmaker. And that his vision and his voice is very well heard in this film. That's literally all they're doing. They're just trying to steal, and then at the end, you find out that the suits are really skin and really cool stop motion and miniature work. I don't know, man. It's just weird. I don't know how else to describe it.
Yeah. Every time I had a beat on what the movie was, it would like take a left turn. Like when they've, when the factory in China storyline dovetails into their story and they find out they have these like transporter devices that suck the clothes out and put them elsewhere.
But it also can deconstruct things in its most basic form.
Yeah, it starts out like, okay, it transports stuff, but then it also has two more functions of deconstructing things to their original form and then accelerating crises.
Yeah, it's hard to follow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I forget one of her friends, too. She's really great in It Welcome to Derry. All the actors are great in it.
And Will Poulter's like the manager of one of the stores, and it has just commentary of like how high end fashion like treat people with like the workplace, you know.
Yeah.
And then meanwhile, there's also like Keith Stanfield is
a demon.
Is a demon that like really wants to hook up with Kiki Palmer.
Yeah.
But then they find out he's like this gigolo.
But he's really a demon who sucks the souls out of women by going down on them.
Yeah.
And like dries them out. And then their conflict is resolved where she says, yeah, I mean, I can't be with any guy who won't eat me out. Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I don't have to eat you. Yeah, like, oh, okay. I don't want to be with a guy who can't do that.
Yeah. And it's just a bizarre movie, but I was invested in it. And like I said, I'll watch anything with Keke Palmer. I don't know, her energy I just love. And I think she's really magnetic on screen. So if she shows up in a film, I will watch that movie because I like her so much. And I mean, everybody in the film is just really great. Taylor Page is her name. She's in it, Welcome to Derry, and she's also in The Toxic Avenger, I forgot. But she's really good too. She's they're just fun. Yeah, Will Poulter's great in it. Yeah, I remember all this stuff in it. They even have an after credit scene where their one girl is trying to explain how the time travel works or the teleporter works, and you're still trying to follow it. And I think Boots Riley realized that it still doesn't make any sense. I would just say buckle up and enjoy the ride. Yeah. And know the movie is just out there.
Again, the closest comparison, like I said, it was like with the whole stop motion stuff at the end and like the car chase, like it's like such a Wes Anderson vibe.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, because Eric Andre's in it too, and he's like just this cop, and they accidentally hit the wrong button, and it makes it have like a super tank kind of cop chase him. And
yeah, it's the opposite of the deconstruction. Yeah, like the militarized police force.
Yeah, it's just interesting. It's a very interesting movie. And it's something I think I'll need to watch a few more times. When that will be, I don't know.
Yeah, it's very fast-paced.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really well made. I love Boosters. Just when you thought I didn't have anything to say about the news, here's some more.
It's real news!
What else is going on?
Obsession grew in its third weekend.
What?
Yeah, it's unbelievable because now you just expect things to drop a lot. The Backrooms opened to $81 million this week too. And
two horror movies in the top two slots. What?
Yeah. So it's just fascinating because now, you know, Hollywood's going to be looking towards these filmmakers, and
we got to make a Backrooms movie called Bathrooms.
And yeah, and it's with a shit monster. It went well for Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just think it's a really fascinating story to follow that in its third weekend, it grew its audience again.
I mean, I figure it's going to be a hit, but like, yeah. I had no idea it's going to be.
Yeah, I know.
Push the Mandalorian and Grogu out of the theater's hit.
I know. Very fascinating. We watch films throughout the week in a segment I call What We've Been Watching.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
Brad, I'm going to go first this week.
What?
Because I always let you go first and fuck you. No, but the real reason is Arrow Video put out The Birthday, which I didn't know you saw. Did you talk about it on the show?
I think so.
I don't remember you talking about it. But anyways, The Birthday is this mythical movie that stars Corey Feldman that was made in 2004. Wasn't released until 2024 by Jordan Peele because he thought it was a masterpiece. And I picked up the Arrow 4K because...
Yeah, 4K, okay.
Yeah, because if you buy stuff at Vinegar Syndrome online or at their store, you actually earn points, which I didn't know you did. And when you earn points, you get money off of stuff, which I also didn't know you did. So instead of paying the $34.99 for it, I got it for $12.
To get extra points.
Yeah.
Smart.
Yeah, and so...
Look at you, beating the system.
Yeah, but if Corey Feldman's listening to this, I apologize in advance, sir. But his musical career is people make fun of all the time. He has that one song, I'm the comeback king, and it's Michael Jackson because he's very influenced by Michael Jackson. It's one of his friends, and that's very cool. The song is garbage, though. So I put out this tweet that I said, he's the comeback king, watching the mythical The Birthday, starring Corey Feldman, and he retweeted it and liked it.
What?
So I'm pretty much royalty.
Yeah, you're friends with Corey Feldman
now. Toads.
You got to ask him stuff about Friday the 13th Part 4.
I know. I would if he'd ever sit down and talk to us. Something tells me he never would. but anyways, back to the movie. Kellen watched it with me.
Oh, my God.
And Kellen and me are going, what the fuck is this thing? I will say that Corey Feldman is really good in it.
Yeah.
He has very unusual tics in it. I'm still not 100% sure of what the movie is supposed to fucking be.
It's about the birthday, dude.
Yeah. It's a, well, I mean, ostensibly, he's dating this one girl who invites him to this hotel because it's her dad's birthday, but she does too embarrassed to introduce him to her father. And then he goes on these random floors and meets people he knows, and they're all. What I did like about it is it was kind of this, like, I Love Boosters is kind of surreal, where, and I also like these kind of jokes. So his character Norman was talking to one of his friends, and in the background, there's just some random dude in a wheelchair, and they're all, like, dancing and dunking stuff on him, and just weird stuff happening. It's literally him just going around, and he's thinking something else is happening in the film. Are going on. The music is kind of obnoxious in it, and they make a lot of, it's really loud and in your face. It's really front loaded, the score. I don't know what to make of it.
Isn't he also like up for promotion?
Something. I don't know.
That's why he's like holding out hope for.
Yeah. And then it devolves into this doomsday cult demon thing where they're trying,
the whole party's like, yeah,
like they're trying to sacrifice thing. Him yeah. Or I don't even know what's going on. But in Jordan Peele's defense, I can see why. I wouldn't say it's a masterpiece. I would say it's very bizarre and it's so unusual, and Corey Feldman is actually pretty good in it. It has to be seen. I can't describe it enough. And to answer your question on 4K, I mean, it doesn't look that great in 4K. I mean, it looks good, but the way it's shot doesn't scream 4K. It's not bright enough. It's not dark enough. It's just, and it's not creative enough with its visuals. But that it exists on 4K and Arrow put it out with special features. I mean, it counts for something, right? And I will watch it again. And there is a commentary with a director, and I really want to listen to it.
Yeah. Explain yourself.
Yeah, because even Kellen's like, what the fuck is this? I mean, he didn't say fuck, obviously. He said, this is fucking bullshit. hey, Kellen, come here real fast.
Okay. Faster.
Yeah. So what do you think the birthday was about?
I don't know. It was just like some dudes who went to some random birthday party and something about a chicken child and guys who was just getting shot. I don't know. The plot made no sense. And I don't know why this movie exists, but it doesn't make sense. And this movie's silly.
Yeah, I mean, I forgot about the guy who got shot randomly. Yep, that happened. Yeah, so Kellen summed it up pretty, in a nice way. Brad, what'd you watch this week?
Yeah, it's weird. Because of Fan Expo, I didn't go to the theater for like almost a week and a half.
That is
so
weird.
I immediately got back into it by seeing the Monday mystery movie day after the Fan Expo, and this one was The Furious. I don't know if you've seen a trailer for
it. I have. It looks kind of cool.
Yeah, the action is awesome.
Because is it? Because the only thing I've seen for it, I've only seen ads, and the ads say it's just a 90-minute action like shot. Like that's all it is.
Yeah, it's not continuous. Mm. There is like a narrative and a story in between, but that's really weak. Mm. It's kind of like a RRR where there's these two guys that don't know each other, and then this conflict, which is child. There's the one guy has a daughter that gets kidnapped and set up for child trafficking, and then the other guy had a wife who was a journalist who got abducted. You don't know. Maybe it seems like she probably was murdered. Mm. But he's held out hope that he's going to find her. But he has to go underground and pretend to be a criminal. Whereas the other guy, he's also mute. the other guy, he just
is this a foreign film or is it an American one?
I think it's English dubbed, but I think it was a foreign film that
because it seems
Miramax ported, maybe it was Lionsgate. So these two guys eventually meet up. You realize that they're on the same team, basically, and then from then on out, they just like kick and punch and kill a bunch of people on the way to getting his daughter back and maybe finding his wife. And the final battle scene is really long. And there's also like the main villain is like this gangster who works for a bunch of other higher level gangsters. So he's kind of like deviated from their plan and it's like set up his own business. So the finale is him and then a guy who used to work for that guy who's now turned against him, but is also still against the two heroes. So there's like a four-person battle brawl at the end where only two guys are not trying to kill each other. The main gangster guy, he has recruited a new guy who's like an ace with arrows and knives, who also, so it's actually a five-person fight. Like, it takes place in the police station, and that dude just lays waste to every police officer in the station, like efficiently kills everybody. So the whole time you're just like, oh my God, these two heroes could easily get killed fighting this one guy. There's like a good sense of stakes and danger. It's not just like, oh, an onslaught of just like continuous punching. And it's not like a Jackie Chan movie where they like, oh, I'm going to take a waste paper basket and like creatively do this. It's just like fist on kick on like just a relentless bloody battle royale.
So it's definitely worth seeing
for the action.
Sweet.
The story is
whatever.
Yeah. It's, you know, Statham's done this story, you know, it's like,
where's my daughter?
Yeah.
You have two choices here, mate. You give me my daughter and I don't kill you.
And there's like some questionable acting choices and stuff. But yeah, if you're just straight up action that isn't just the Jackie Chan style of like incorporating the environment, but it's like, it's so brutal.
That's what I want the Monday mystery movie to be. Something you probably wouldn't have noticed and, you know, hey, check this out.
Yeah. I was like kind of waiting for it, but I was like, oh, it might be something that just ends up in the Mayan and maybe I'll get to see it. But yeah, when the title card came up, I was like, oh my God, I was looking forward to this.
Nice.
I just wish the narrative and the characters were stronger. And the other thing I saw was a horror movie that I saw a trailer like briefly and thought, oh, this is going to be awesome when it comes out. But it's like sandwiched between Backrooms and Obsession, so it might get lost. That movie's called Passenger.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen a trailer. It looks interesting.
The trailer's like Obsession, where it's like one scene out of the movie. These two buddies, they pull over on the side of the road. One goes to take a piss, comes back, his buddy's gone, and the doors are all open, and there's like something lurking in the darkness. Those characters aren't the movie. it's about this couple.
Wait, so the trailer is not in the movie, is shot just as a trailer?
No, it's in the movie, but it's like the, you know, 2-minute opening.
Oh, okay.
And then everything else is about...
That's pretty ballsy.
Yeah, everything else is about this couple who are a van life couple. They've decided to give up their house and just get a van and live on the road constantly, live and work out of there. We meet them for a little bit, and then they show up in the area where the prologue happened. So in a very It Follows kind of way, they take on the entity, and it follows them for the rest of their journey throughout the movie. And there's references to the hobo code, so there's like these symbols that appear as they go, like scratches on their car, or like sign, like things etched into signs on the side of the road. They refer to like, you know, this symbol means danger ahead. And so like the entity is kind of scribing them. And initially the girlfriend notices odd things happening way before the boyfriend does. But after a couple incidents, he quickly gets on board with like, okay, we're being hunted and stalked. And the entity is just like this old hobo dude that appears and disappears on a whim.
Did he teach him the rules of the road?
He should have. And then at one point they go to like this meetup for other RV people, and I guess Melissa Leo tells them about like this hobo code and like what they're all about. But later on, they're like, oh, we got to go back and meet with her to find out more information. And then when she figures out that they've been like attached to this entity, she's like, well, yeah, I can't help you. And then gets like her head brutally ripped off. It's pretty shocking. But yeah, I don't know. It just wasn't like that interesting.
Hmm.
Again, like it had like It Follows vibes. So it felt like, okay, I've seen this before. And then like the solution is to go to a church, like drive the van into a church and like get St. Christopher. Oh yeah. There's like this whole runner of St. Christopher.
Yeah. And people say, put him in your car.
He's like the symbol of protection.
Yeah.
But like they just randomly go to this one truck stop that has a bunch of medallions of him. And that still doesn't like keep the guy away. So what's the fucking point? Like there's a statue of him at the church that impales him, so that helped. But the whole medallion thing is like, oh, he doesn't help them there, but he does as a statue. I don't know. It was meh. And also, like, is this the one that like relies on a bunch of jump scares? I think it was. There's something I was going to tell you that I watched. It was like all straight jump scares.
Lame. Sounds like that because I think I've seen.
Oh, it's Hokum.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, that's what I watched this week.
Cool. Next week is Masters of the Universe.
Yeah.
Should be fun.
Looks fun.
Yeah. So until next week, we'll see you at the movies.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot a real nerd. Can follow the plot of a real nerd. We'll give it all the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast, Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!